Again, I have nothing in my mind. I think I want you to hit my head like this and try what kind of sound I make, my head makes. Would you hit my head like this? If possible, you know. Hit my head with long, you know, talk, maybe 1 hour long. It will be a great help. Do you have some long stick to hit my bear? If you have some long stick, longer the better. Do you have some question? Long question. No question? Some question? Oh. Practice of Shikantaza or what? We say there's no such thing like Shikantaza, you know, actually. But in comparison to koan practice, because we don't use, you know, koan, people say that is Shikantaza. Shikan means, you know, to be involved in zazen completely. That is shikan. Taza is zazen. So if you practice our way, even without any gaining idea, or even without any idea of enlightenment, that is Shikantaza. So, sometime it may be actually, koan practice may be also Shikantaza. When you are completely involved in koan practice, that is actually Shikantaza. And there may be various misunderstanding about Shikantaza. If you think Shikantaza is just to sit, you know, without making not much effort, you know, just sit like this. It's Shikantaza. And we say, when, you know, sometimes we say, when you have some image, you know, let it come and let it go away. That is Shikantaza, we say. It looks like, you know, if you just sit with some idea in my mind, or without some idea in my in our mind, if you just sit, you know, that is Shikantaza. But that is not actually Shikantaza. Why we say let the idea come in and let it go away means don't sit, you know. It means that actually, and don't sit with some purpose, you know, some purpose of to free yourself from various ideas. You know, to free yourself from various ideas, actually, not to be bothered by various ideas you will have in Zazen. That is true, but even though you are able to do it, that is not Shikantaza. If you think this is Shikantaza, that is not Shikantaza anymore. So if I explain what is Shikantaza, in this way, to sit, you know, with some idea which may come to you, without, you know, being bothered by it, and just to sit, it's Shikantaza. That is, you know, sometimes that is Shikantaza, but it is not always so. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It is rather difficult. So if possible, of course, if you are able to sit without any, you know, image or thinking mind, that is, of course, better, you know. But if I say, when you practice Shikantaza, you will have many ideas, you know. So let the idea come in and let them go away. That is Shikantaza. If I say so, it does not mean. It means that. For a beginner, that is Shikantaza. But for more advanced students, or for students who sit for 2-3 years, you know, if he remain in that practice, you know, it is not. I don't think he is practicing Shikantaza in its true sense. That was very lazy practice, you know. Oh, this is Shikantaza. I am practicing Shikantaza. Roshi said, you know, even you have various ideas in your mind, that is all right. Let them come in. Eventually it will go away. That is Shikantaza. So I am practicing Shikantaza every day. If you understand in that way, that is not Shikantaza. So I think if you that is why, you know, I am I want you right now to practice counting breathing practice instead of, you know, just to sit. Because you will have very lazy idea of Shikantaza. So if you try to count your breathing, you know, you will find out it is pretty difficult to practice counting breathing practice. Even though in counting your breathing, even though you are successful in counting breathing, just to count your breathing without mistake, that is not also Shikantaza. So when you practice counting breathing practice, you, of course, you have to count, but at the same time, you should be very careful with your posture, about your mudra, with straight back, and your mind should take care of every part of your physical condition, and you must have good breathing, you know. So with all of your, you know, effort, physical effort and mental effort, you should count your breathing. That is Shikantaza. For instance, that, you know, a flower vase like this, you know, it is possible to hold it like this, you know. And it is, at the same time, you can hold it like this. So if you, if I say counting breathing practice, following breathing practice, it is same thing to hold the base this part by this by the handle or by the mouse, you know. Anyway, you should hold all the base, you know. If you take hold of this part, it doesn't much difference, you know, whether you take hold of this part or this part. Anyway, they called the power base. So Shikantaza points out needs to take hold of whole being, or all of your mind and body, which include all the world, you know. That is Shikantaza. If go on practice to take hold of this path, you know, people say this is go on practice. But for us, this is Shikantaza, because imperfect go on practice, he is taking hold of all base. And counting breathing practice may be to take hold of this space by the mouth of the base. Do you understand? No? So most teacher may say Shikantaza is not so easy, you know. It is not possible to continue it more than 1 hour because it is intense practice to take hold of all our mind and body by the practice, which includes everything. So in Shikantaza, our mind should pervade every part of our physical being. That is not so easy. Did you understand? If you actually practice Zazen, you will understand it, you know. As I always say, to count your breathing like this is not Zazen, you know. Just to count our breathing is not counting breathing practice, actually. With, you know, with your whole body and mind, you should count your breathing. You know, for instance, we say when you put your hand together, or when you sit, you should feel as if you have one egg or two eggs under your arm like this. You know. Don't crush it, don't drop it. And that is how you put your arm, you know, in right position. It means that just, you know, try not to drop it is not, you know, practice. But that, it means that in that way, you know, your arm should join our practice. Do you understand? In that way, your arm should join our practice. If you are like this, you are holding eggs under your arm, you know. If you are like this, you are not holding eggs. So, your mind should be free from the idea of holding eggs or not holding eggs. No. And join. Let our arm join our practice. If you are doing like this, you know, your arm is not joining your practice, you know. Maybe all of your body is joining the practice of your holding eggs practice. Instead of, you know, joining, instead of arm joining in your practice. Do you understand? So, in that way, you should understand what is Shikantaza. Did I explain? Does it make some sense? Your eyes, you know, is not watching anything, you know, even though there is flower like this in front of you. In your practice, your eyes are not watching it, even though our focus is around here like this. Now I'm watching, you know, you like this, but now I'm not watching you. My focus is right there. You may see the difference, you know. You may see the difference in my eyes when I am watching something and when I'm not watching anything. My eye focus is right there. Do you understand? So, you know, if I say Shikantaza is to do, or like this is Shikantaza, it's same thing I say, to watch you is Shikantaza. But it is not so, actually. Even though people who do not have this kind of experience maybe looks like same, you know. But if you carefully, you know, see my eyes, you will find out the difference. Did you understand? You know, one is everything. We say we have a kind of stock term. One is everything, and everything is one. This is, you know, you can explain intellectually. One is everything, and everything is one. Because everything is changing moment after moment, one is not always one. it will change into something else in next moment. So actually one is everything, and everything is also one. So we say, if you pick up a part of net, you know, you will have all the net, you know. It means that it does not mean some intellectual explanation of the relationship one and many, but it points out actual practice. When I'm not watching anything, you know, with this kind of eyes, you know, if someone moves, I will, you know, immediately catch you. If you don't, I don't see anyone. If someone moves, you know, I will feel something. You know. That kind of eyes, you know, covers everything. When you don't see anything, you see clearly everything. If you are watching something, you know, you lose the rest of the things. You know.
Is that just ordinary?
Ordinary practice? When usual practice?
Non-seeing, just ordinary, natural mind.
Natural, yeah.
Not seeing anything, but covering, still seeing everything.
Yeah.
That is the natural order of mind.
Natural order of mind. But as I said, you know, when you are counting something, you know, like in office work, you know, you should be concentrated on one thing, on what you are doing. That practice is more, you know, the practice of Attasara. I explained various ways of understanding of things and various kinds of practice. Form is emptiness, and emptiness is form, and form is form. Form is form means emptiness is emptiness means to use this kind of eyes, you know. This is emptiness, is emptiness, complete emptiness. And to be concentrated on something like this, you know, without any idea of anything, this is form is form. But underlying spirit is the same. But the way of expressing the feeling of zazen is different. So even though you are strictly, you know, watching something like this, still you have freedom from this. But for usual people, you know, who do not have any experience of practice, to watch something like this, immediately he will caught by the flower, you know. So there's still there is difference, but even though he is detached from this flower, he will not make any mistake in describing things. His mind will be very articulate. But he has, at the same time, freedom from it. So we, you know, when we, this is, you know, eventually, even though we practice Zazen, we'll come back to the starting point. Form is form, you know. But when you come back from to the original stage, it looks like you come back to the original state, going around, making a trip all the way to heaven, come back to earth again. But actually, this is not the same level. So maybe as Hegelian explains, you know, we are making this kind of trip like this, you know, it looks like we came to the same point, but level is not the same. But this is, I think, just intellectual explanation of reality. Some other question? Vanish? Disappear. The idea you have should disappear, I mean. If you finally say, yeah, it's flower, you know. But there is no such flower. Substantially exists, you know, in some particular way, because it is always changing. In other words, it is always vanishing. But this kind of, if you really try to understand what does it mean, everything, by everything vanishes, you should know the only way is to practice Zazen. If you want to bring that idea into practice, the only way is to practice that. So there are two ways to have intellectual understanding of it. You know, it should be, everything should be like that. And everything is going in that way, you know. That is, intellectually we can understand that. But real understanding, not understanding, but I don't know. If you accept that truth, actually, you must practice Zazen. That is the only way to have direct experience of the teachings or philosophy of Buddhism. Some other questions? Hi.
Could you talk about guilt?
Guilt?
When I'm listening to you, when I'm not listening to you, when my mind wanders off, I feel bad about it. And then my mind wanders off to my feeling mad about it. And then I think I shouldn't feel bad about it, and it shouldn't itself makes me feel guilty. I know how I'm supposed to think, but I can't think that way.
Yeah, you cannot think that way. That is, you know, when you feel bad, you know, about it, it is already, you know, you are out of practice, you know. You are not practicing true way. You know, you are just thinking about it. Now sometimes you are making some excuse, you know. To feel bad about it, you know, means at the same time you are finding some good excuse, you know. The same activity. No, a different activity based on same, you know, impulse. You don't want to be bad, so you feel bad. So, you know, in that way you cannot solve, you cannot find out your own way. Just by finding out some reason why you did it, or some teaching to justify your what you have done. You are far away from the real practice. So anyway, what you have done, you know, will create some effect, you know. That it is inevitable, you know, for some acts to create some result. So it is not matter of bad or good, you know. Anyway, you will have the result of it. So, you know, Buddha is very fair to everyone. You cannot escape from what you have done. So it is more than to say you did something bad. You know. If you, you know, accept, if you understand your life in that way, there's no more, no idea of good or bad already. You may feel very bad about it, you know, but it doesn't make much difference. You may feel sometime you find out some excuse for it, but it doesn't make any difference. Do you understand? That much is very true, I think. If so, what you should do is, will be the next question. So naturally, you will be very, very careful what you will do. Not because people say, people may say something, people may be critical with you, or not because we have various precepts. If you make that kind of effort, you know, people will have very good feeling with you, I think. And you may feel very good when you accept the truth of cause and effect completely. If you are ready to accept the result of what you have done. That is the only way to be free from what you have done, to go beyond the idea of good and bad. Hi.
There's an animal that lives inside of us, and there's a human being, and there's a Buddha, and they all need different food. How do you go about feeding the different parts of you? Something is maybe good food for the Buddha, you know, but for the animal, he wants some meat.
He wants meat. But he is not so greedy as human being. A human being wants to eat meat and some Buddha's food. That is human being. So that is not just for human being. Buddha's teaching is not for just human being. Because even though the animal doesn't hear, they are not so greedy. You know, but they are not so greedy as human beings. So we have some special food, you know, because of the human nature. So I don't know which is better, you know, human being or animal. I don't know which is better. But anyway, everyone has food provided by Buddha, you know. And some special being, like human being, has some more feed, you know, food. To reduce human being, like animal, maybe, in some way. So my understanding may be opposite to your understanding, you know. I think human being is worse to animal, maybe. That is why we need Buddha's mercy badly. Excuse me?
Could you speak to us on bowing?
Bowing?
Bowing and taking refuge.
Taking refuge. Taking refuge is not, you know, good translation. Taking refuge is to, you know, to protect yourself in Buddha's home, maybe like that. That it. It is so, but if you know how to protect yourself, that translation may work. But to take refuge in Buddha looks like to escape from this world and to go to Buddha, you know. But it is not actually so. To be one with Buddha is to take refuge in Buddha. Or to be Buddha, you know, is to take refuge in Buddha. There's no special home for Buddha, you know, or for us. The home is always within ourselves. So it is not to go to Buddha, but to find out Buddha nature within ourselves. It's to take refuge in Buddha. To bow to Buddha is the same thing, you know. To bow to the Buddha on the altar is not actual meaning of to bow to Buddha. To find ourselves as a disciple of Buddha is to bow to Buddha. So Buddha is rather behind you, you know, not in front of you. No, I am your tutor. You know, may I help you? if you have something to do, I will do it. You know, that feeling is, you know, to bow to Buddha. To find ourselves as a disciple of Buddha. So even though Buddha passed away so many years ago, we are Buddha and we are disciple of Buddha. We should not lose his way. And, you know, so we have to behave. And we should know what he will, you know, tell us, you know, when he is with us right now. With this kind of attitude, we should bow to Buddha, you know. As if you help your mother or father, you know. As if you serve something to your parents. That is how you bow to Buddha. Bow is just, you know, one of the many ways of expressing our sincerity to him, as if he is alive and he is with us. Do you understand? That is why we bow to Buddha. And Dhamma. To give the Dhamma. There is, you know, various, that is very complicated. If I want to clarify, you know, your question, it is necessary to give you a long, long lecture, you know, what is Dhamma, what is Buddha, what is Sangha, you know, what is what is scripture, you know, what is a building, or what is equipment to offer something to Buddha, you know. What is priests? Who is Buddha? You know, there is. we have to study, you know, this kind of philosophy, maybe. How to give gifts? It's, you know, in short, maybe to practice Zazen is will be the greatest gift you can give to anyone. In short. You know, we practice Zazen because just to read scripture, just to understand scripture, and just to give some virtue of, you know, virtuous meaning of scripture to other people is not, you know, good enough. It is not the best way. So we practice Zazen. Because that practice is complete, you know. By our practice, we can experience, or we can actually accept that Dhamma in its true sense. And in that way, we can transmit our Dhamma to others in its complete sense. Why that is so, a pretty long explanation about what is Dhamma. And historically, what kind of idea we have had, you know, about Dhamma. And we could not satisfied with the explanation of the Dhamma, you know. Or we couldn't satisfied with the written teaching, you know, or dead teaching. We wanted some, you know, some actual, you know, Dhamma, rather than, you know, dead Dhamma, written in scriptures, or understood by philosophical mind. I think you must have some idea of, you know, why we practice Zazen, and why practice of Zazen is so important, you know.
Does a Zen master suffer in a different way than his students suffer?
Same way. Like too much. If he is different, you know, I don't think he is good enough. Form is form. We must make that kind of effort. After you understood what is, you know, Zazen, and what is practice, what is Dhamma, what is Sangha, and various interpretation of our teaching. So we must try to forget all about that kind of, you know, confusion. And we should be able to just do something as people may do. It is very important practice. After you understood what is Buddhism. Suffering? Yeah.
Has to do with this form of pain.
Yeah, we have to, you know, some people try to help people in the stage of emptiness is emptiness, you know, like this, you know, without watching any particular. In the form of, form is form. Rather than emptiness is emptiness.